Well, greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the wonderful island nation of Sri Lanka, where truth is still true. The devil is a liar. He has defeated his demons and his foes and his minions and his subjects, loyal or backbiting or whatever they may be, stand defeated and scrambling in this time. You know, the funny thing about the devil's kingdom is how quickly something can just lay the whole thing low. Tiny little thing will affect so much. You know, the whole desire that people had to be interconnected in this world, and the repercussions of an interconnected world, of what it does when things don't go right, when things start to fall apart, when things are not working the way they thought they would do it. You know, in business, I remember back, you know, when I was doing some business studies a long time ago, and they were talking about just in time at that point of, you know, the ability to not carry inventory and to have what you needed there when you needed it, and a way and a means of maximizing profits. And you know what's funny is, and all this stuff seems so great at the time, but then pretty soon it becomes expectation. Pretty soon people then start expecting certain things to happen rather than them actually, you know, there is no slack in the system. So when things don't go right, things fall apart. And with just in time, if things don't show up, and your whole supply chain falls apart, you're in trouble. So, you know, the world, basically, here's the thing. The system of the world doesn't have much room to maneuver when things don't go according to plan. The demands of work are interesting in this day and age. You know, it used to be that, you know, they thought that with all of this technology that it would just enable people to be so much more efficient, and therefore they would be able to unplug and you know, get their work done so quickly, and then they could go on and have these incredible leisurely lives because they got everything done. What's happened is, because of technology and the way that things are, is when people work, they never get to stop working. It's work is with them all the time now. Work is, you are connected all the time. You don't get a break. And the expectation is, hey, if you've got an iPhone or a BlackBerry, that when somebody emails you, you email them back in an hour. What's the irony of that situation? Well, people become more and more and more entrenched in the system. They become more and more engrossed in it, that when the time comes that they got to make a decision and a break from that whole thing, they're so hooked in, they don't know what it is to be without their email. You know, think about it like this. What did people do before they had email? What did people do before they had the internet? You wonder that? How much time do you and I spend on the internet or in front of a computer in a given day? Well, what did people do before they had this? You ever wonder that? What did people do? How did they spend their time? Yeah, isn't that the irony of what work has become for so many people? Is that they do all of this stuff, and yet, where was those jobs 25 years ago? So, you know, that should be a case in point of the fact that we live in an illusionary world. That work is make-believe, if you would. It's value creation based on the value that people will place on what you do. And money as a medium of exchange, and money as something that is a representation of people's labor and their hard work, or I should say hard work, because there's a lot of people that have a lot of money that haven't worked very hard for it. They've sold their souls in exchange for a quick pop, a rise to the top, fame, fortune, and everything they believe that it'll bring. But the consequence has been, well, hey, that's it. That was your lap around the track, and it's over. You know, this whole thing ends. You do know that, right? This whole thing that we're in, it does end. There is a stop for the pain. There is an end to the madness. There is a point of your showing. There is a place where the refining is now finished and you are ready to go on into the next phase of what God has for you. But until then, we must carry on. We must go through. You know, there's convenient escape routes along the way. That's another part about this that is so interesting, is that there are ways out. There is an easier way. There is an easier path. Constantly that'll come to you. But you know in the core of your being, when you're staying on track, you know in the core of your heart when it is that you are where God wants you to be. And that is the key to success. You know, I mean, we talked a little bit about it before in success is in the obedience and following the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. An extension of that is being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. That's being in the center of the will of God. That is God's destiny for a true child of God. A true child of God stays in that step. A true child of God stays in that line. It doesn't mean that you don't struggle, that I don't struggle. It doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that we don't have issues. But we stay in that line. We stay on that course. We stay on that path. Why? Because there's nowhere else that we want to go. We want the will of God because we know that in His will is peace. We know that in His will is protection. We know that in His will is provision. We know that in His will is fulfillment. We know that in His will is what is that thing inside of your heart that is crying out. You know that in His will you have that. Without it, there's an emptiness there. There's a sadness there. You know, I recently went through an experience where, I was literally put by design into a situation where there was zero possibility in my mind for a good resolution. Zero. I mean, I was put in a situation where on one side I was being pulled to the right, on the other side I was being pulled to the left, and you can't go two directions. And yet I was being asked to go to two directions by the nature of the situation I was in. But when you ask God for a way forward, when you ask God what you should do, and even in that situation, God gave me a solution. Even in that situation, God gave me some help, some support, some godly counsel, some wisdom for what to do and how to do it, and what to say and to whom and how to move something forward. You know, that is part of it. You know, is that we will be put into situations where there seems like there's no way forward, and in the natural there isn't. And you will be at the end of your rope. You'll be at the end of yourself. You cannot do it anymore. You can't go forward anymore. You are so far gone. You were gone months ago. You couldn't do this anymore. And you pray and you ask God. And what does He do? He shows you. He shows you what to do. He gives you a way there where there was no way. And your trust is strengthened. Your faith is strengthened. Your trust is built. Because you know time and again that He's going to show you the way forward. You know, a friend of mine that was a pastor in the States, you know, he told me one time, he said, you know when the assignment that God has for you is complete? You know, do you know when that is? And, curiosity, you're like, okay, when is that? He's like, when it no longer needs you to continue. I found that pretty, spot on. When it no longer needs you to continue, that's when you know that you're done with that thing that God has for you. And it's time to move on. Because it doesn't need you anymore. You know what? That's usually when things are going pretty well. You know, Or the assignment is fulfilled. The thing that God has for you is fulfilled. Like when Philip goes down to Samaria in the book of Acts, chapter 8. God calls him out in the middle of an incredible revival. God sends him on to the desert road to meet the eunuch from Ethiopia. Now, his mind was not listening. His heart was not listening to what God was saying. He would have stayed at the revival. Why? That's where the action was. That's where all kinds of stuff was taking place. But God sent him out from there. Likewise, you and I. So many times you're going to be put in difficult situations, and God is going to allow you to be there, and you're going to see His deliverance. You're going to see His hand at work in your life. And once you've come through that, and you come to the other side of it, and you're finally in a place, a good place, a safe spot, a point where things are working and they're all right. Once you're right in that spot, He'll let you rest for just a little bit, and then He's going to send you out again into something new. And as another buddy used to tell me, he said, new level, new devil. You're going to go to another, you go from glory to glory and from strength to strength. And when you go that way, when you go that line, as you continue to move forward, once you go through these things, you know what ends up happening is now you need to be tested on a whole nother level. And don't be discouraged with the tests that you face, because they build perseverance, character, hope, and ultimately your trust and your faith in a living God that loves you, that will certainly carry you through. To Him who overcomes, that is the call. God's called you to overcome. How do you overcome? Well, remain in Him, and His words remain in you. You will bear much fruit. Follow Him. He'll lead you and guide you every step of the way. And trust. The worlders are still worlders on a grease pole to hell. The children of God are still the children of God, growing and continuing from glory to glory and strength to strength. You know, I tell you, it is amazing the extent that the worlders will go to get something that they prize in the world. You know, it's funny because, what did Napoleon say? Napoleon said something to the extent that, you know, a man would jump through fire and walk on hot coals and put his life in harm's way for a little bit of tin and some ribbon. Something along those lines. Well, not to take away anything from people that have courage and bravery, but when people put value on anything in the material or anything set up by the world or the world system, and when they invest their minds and their hearts there, it's amazing the extent to which they will go to try to get those things. And you know, the funny thing is, everything in the world is fading. Everything in the world and the world system deteriorates. And you know, it deteriorates at a rate. It breaks down so fast. I mean, what did Jesus say? Do not store up your treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and do what? Steal. Oh yes, they do steal. Gosh, that, you know what? The thievery that is present in this day, in this age, the wide-scale theft of everything, if it's not nailed to the floor, there's somebody with sticky fingers. And even if it's nailed to the floor, they'll come with a crowbar and try to rip it out. Because you know what? There's a spiritual dimension to that. Because the devil come not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief comes but not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly in John 10:10. But the thief comes to steal. The devil comes to steal. So those that serve the devil, it's natural that they would steal. It's natural that theft and thievery is part of their nature, is part of their makeup, is part of the very... It's natural that they lie. Hello. Yes. Yes. A child of the devil will lie. A servant of the world and the world system will lie. Whereas the people of the kingdom are people of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So he is truth. And because he is truth, those that follow him, if you're going to be in agreement with him, because how can they walk together lest they be agreed? Amos 3:3, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? Truth, if you're going to walk in truth, if you're going to walk with Jesus, you got to be in agreement with truth. Otherwise, you can't keep walking with him. Why? Because he keeps walking in the direction of truth, and unless you're walking in that direction, you're not in agreement with him. Aha! Yes, that's right. You're not in agreement with Jesus if you're not walking in truth. You're not on the way of life, an abundant life, unless you're walking in truth. You know what's funny to me is that as much as the world seeks to spin and to twist things, when it comes to the very core of their demonic leadership, they place a premium on having access to truth. Let me explain. So for example, say take something like when people when governments are trying to make decisions. Well, when they want to make decisions, they don't want it based on opinion. Some of them make decisions based on opinion, but they want to actually know what's going on. Because if they know what's going on, then they have the information necessary to make decisions. You know why? Knowledge is power. Because when they know, that enables them to make certain decisions and certain choices based on information. Now, if they're going to twist it, and if they're going to use it to manipulate people and populations, well, they first need to know what it is. You know, people do that in the communications industry. Absolutely. They need to gather the information. So they need to know. They need to know what's factual. They need to know the truth, little t. Because when they have those facts and figures, that's what they use to then make their decisions. So when they're making celebrities, they need to segment target audiences and understand, okay, these are the people that this celebrity will reach and appeal to, and now this is the way we're going to dress this person up and package them so that that target audience is going to identify with them and then buy our drinks, our clothing, our merchandise, go on our trips, join our clubs, do this, do that. All the time distracted. All the time staying without. Why is that important? Well, because Jesus said the kingdom is within. Luke chapter 17, 20 and 21. Jesus, when they asked him where the when the kingdom of God will come and all the stuff about the kingdom, Jesus said, it's not here or there. He said, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So you got to go within, with Christ, in Christ Jesus. You got to go within for you to know the kingdom, to know the truth, to know the king. And if you get pulled without into the worries, the riches, the pleasures, the cares of this world, you get distracted. You get dulled. The goal of the world system is to cut you off. But you know what it involves? It involves your free will. See, that's what's incredible there too, is that in the middle of all of this, we've been given free will. The ability to choose, make choice, make decisions. You've been given that. That's what's incredible. You've been given the ability to choose. And we live with the consequences of our choices. You know, I had a friend tell me one time, he said, you can choose to do whatever you want. You just can't choose the consequences. I found that to be true. That's why Jesus told his people in the Old Testament, God speaking, one and the same, said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. I mean, he used Joshua to say it. But, and also, when Deuteronomy 24, I think, when he said, look, I'm laying out before you blessings and curses. You know, if you follow the way of truth, you're going to get the blessing. If you choose the right way, if you choose of your free will the right path, the blessing is yours. But if you choose the wrong way, well, the curse is yours now. Yep. And you got nobody to blame but yourself. Oh, yes. Proverbs 19, verse 2, verse 3. A man's ways, well, one is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty amiss the way. A man's ways destroys his own life, and yet his heart rages against God. You know, that's what's funny, is like when people choose to go their own way, do their own thing, call their own shots, all that stuff, okay, fine, you choose that. But now, there's consequences. And when the consequences come, people get mad at God. They get angry at God. How many times have you heard this? How could God do this to me? But God didn't do that to you. You did that to you. God gave people free will and the ability to choose. And no matter what has happened to somebody up until now, no matter what they've gone through, however terrible, however horrible, however many strikes were against them, however much difficulty they faced, To him who overcomes, God gives everything. Because that's the call. You're called to overcome. We weren't called to the cushy path, to the easy road. No. The road to life is straight and narrow, and few there are that find it. The gate is Jesus. Now when you go through him, you do come into a very expansive place, because there's freedom in him. But he is that gate, he is that door. But it's not an easy way. You know, easy went out the window with Adam. But God still kept it simple. The simplicity of the gospel is, look, follow him. Love him. Obey him. Trust him. He will lead you through. You know, I recently was put in a situation, I do believe by God's design, to stretch me. And you know what? Oh, here's another thing too. We would not choose... Now, we will choose to follow Christ, yes. But we would not choose most of the situations that God ends up having us follow him into. We want the kingdom, but we don't want the price tag. See, the price tag is total. The price tag is everything. The price tag is you gotta go with him. The price tag is you gotta go with him. I mean, you cannot go part way. So it's all in. God has to have all of you. Period. There's got to be nothing left over. That's the only way you're ever going to make it. When I'm saying ever going to make it, I'm talking about the abundant life. The maximum life. That's how it works. See, it doesn't work partially. If you live partially, you're going to reap partially. If you sow in part, you reap in part. If you sow fully, you reap fully. You get in, you get out what you put in. If you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit you reap life and peace. Ah. So how now do we live? Well, one, you got to trust him. Two, you got to realize that the worlders are going to be the worlders. Look, they pretty much have picked their path. So, I mean, what you do, here's one thing I do. Just be who God made you to be. Trust him, love him, be faithful, allow him to lead and guide you, and keep a lookout, because there will be the occasional Saul who will be made and become Paul. There will be the occasional one that God is calling and turning, but there's going to be a lot of them that won't, and there's going to be a lot of them that aren't, and they are there because their purpose, even though they've sold out to the world and the world system, and they seem like they're getting a certain level of advancement in the world and notoriety and prestige and all of that, even though, you know what, here's the thing, that stuff means nothing. It means nothing. Because it goes away. It fades. Disappears. It's not lasting. But... you know, the reason that they're there is because, you know, we have to go through, and they serve a purpose. Look, Pharaoh with Moses, Pharaoh served a purpose. God hardened his heart so that he would not let go of the people of God. Pharaoh's heart not been hardened, the power of God would not have been manifest and shown. And God would not have led the children of Israel out with a strong arm and shown his authority and his ability over the situation, his absolute control over every circumstance of mankind. Had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not had to face Nebuchadnezzar with his request to give their soul allegiance to an image of a man that was set up in the plain of Dura, had they not faced that situation, the power of God would not have been able to be manifest as they showed themselves faithful. Yeah! If there was no fiery furnace, there would have never been a revelation of the God that they serve and the power that he has over all of that. Yes. You see, you and I have to go into these things. You and I have to face up and face off with the enemy of our soul. And we have to be outnumbered. We have to be outgunned. We have to be completely, totally outmatched. And even then, God will whittle us down even further to the point of seemingly no return. And then he shows himself strong. Why? Because the battle is not won by the arm and the strength of men. But it's by his spirit and the power of his spirit. You know, when the Assyrians showed up and mouthed off to Hezekiah and blasphemed the name of the living God, they went to bed that night and they woke up the next morning 186,000 men shorter than what they went to bed with. God sent an angel of death through their camp and just ripped them a new one. Now, that, I mean, here's the thing. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Why? Because when he puts the smack down, it's over. It is over. And that is one reason why he is patient. And he gives people time. He gives people ample opportunity to repent or allows them to fill up their cup unto their own destruction. See, he gives people time. But in that process too, they seal themselves into a particular faith. And when it's done, it's done. You know, look, this life, this is the window. This is the dressing room for eternity. Everything is between here and there. This is it. So, what are you worried about? What are you nervous about? What are you scared about? Are you worried about resources? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you think there was a million people plus worried about resources when they walked into the desert with Moses, not having carried much of anything with them and completely dependent on a God who led them out, who did what? Fed them for 40 years. 40 years. 40 years. in a very specific way nonetheless, where the manna came every day, but it wouldn't last except on the Sabbath. When it came, so the day before the Sabbath, it would last for an extra day, and only that time, so that they could rest on the Sabbath. God provides for His people. God provides for and takes care of His people. And if you worry, you do what the pagans do. They worry. You know, that's one reason why they amass so much for themselves in this world. It's because they worry. They worry that they won't have enough. Or once they have, they want more. Because they want to showcase their power and their prestige. Nope. Don't worry. Don't worry about the world. Don't worry about the things of the world. Your life is in God's hands. Put it there 100%. Trust Him. See, you gotta trust Him. Because see, when you trust Him, then the pressure's off. Here's the thing. You know, for me, one thing I realized, look, if He doesn't show up, I'm done. If He doesn't intervene, I would have been dead a long time ago. You know, here's one thing too. I already died to this world a long time ago. I know the point when that happened for me. Because God led me to that. He brought me to the place where, you know, I literally died in every way possible except stopping breathing. I continued to breathe, but I died to this world. And the new life that I now live is hidden in Christ Jesus. That's what I enjoy. That's what I experience. That's what I know. That's what I love. That's the only way that I know how to live. That is the way of peace. That is the way of life. That is the way that you can just enjoy what God made for you. You know, life can be enjoyable. Life can be enjoyable. Did you know that? Yeah, very much so. God intended for you to enjoy life. But you know, part of that joy is experienced by going through the whole range. See, you've got to go through tough times to appreciate good times. You've got to know what it is to be without, to appreciate what it is to have something. You know, it's funny. When somebody... Who do you think appreciates education more? Somebody that had to work hard to pay for their classes and work nights and weekends and struggled and came to the other side and graduated and got that degree? Or do you think the guy that had it handed to him and somebody else foot the bill? And he might appreciate it too, but the person that had to invest and really put themselves in there, they know what it costs to get that. They appreciate it. They appreciate the chance, the opportunity so much more because they know how hard it is. You know, you got to go through. I have to go through. It's necessary. You know, there's a reason we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a reason we go through that. it strengthens you. It puts steel in your backbone. You know, as much as some of these things are difficult that we go through and we face, you come to the other side of it, you look back, and you've been following Christ through it all, you're going to thank Him. And you're going to praise Him, and you're going to be so grateful. Why? Because He led you through a full life. It wasn't boring at all. It was a full life. And that, my friends, is what you and I have been called to. And with that, hey, God bless you. I love you. Keep on keeping on. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. And hey, we'll catch up with you again sometime soon. Love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.